The vice president's house here in Washington is where Mike Pence now lives with his wife Karen Pence, whose position is sometimes called Second Lady. On January 20, it becomes a house for Kamala Harris and her husband. NPR's Melissa Block reports on the man Joe Biden is referred to as the first second gentleman.
Before the election, when Doug Emhoff took questions from kids online in the Ask a Grown-Up video series, a 9-year-old named Atticus posed this hypothetical. What would you do if your wife became vice president?
Well, first I'd say, yay! And then I'm just going to do what I always do, Atticus. I'm going to support her because it's really important for men and even young boys to support the strong and wonderful women in their life.
That message is both inspiring and necessary, says Jamia Wilson, executive director of the Feminist Press.
We need to show boys more multidimensional examples of what it means to be a woman and what it means to have power. That, I think, is what's most exciting to me about Douglas Emhoff, that he has had periods of taking a back seat, although he has his own very powerful career, to understand that listening, following, is also an important way to lead.
For Wilson, the fact that Harris and Emhoff are an interracial couple adds another layer to the dynamic.
As a Black woman, I think it's extremely noteworthy for all of us to also think about what it means for Douglas Emhoff to be supporting the first woman vice president in this country, but also the first South Asian and Black woman vice president in this country, and what that means around disrupting how we look at power and how we look at allyship.
That power disruption puts Kamala Harris out front and her husband behind, advancing her ambition. Doug Emhoff has said he'll give up his career for now to serve as second gentleman. He's a prominent entertainment and media lawyer, a partner with the huge global law firm DLA Piper. He said he will sever all ties with the firm before Inauguration Day to avoid potential conflicts of interest. And in his new role, he may have to do some mental adjusting. Take it from Dan Mulhern.
I always had a big male ego, so that was challenging at times. I wanted to matter.
Mulhern spent 8 years as the first gentleman of Michigan. He's married to former Governor Jennifer Granholm, and he says he had to get used to people acting as if he wasn't even there.
We like to be in control. I think it's kind of deeply wired.
If you were to offer Doug Emhoff any advice, it would be let go of your ego and enjoy the ride.
There's a, I think it's Yiddish, is kavel, you know, just kavel in your wife's success, savor in it, be in it, and don't feel like you have to do more than be what helps her.
But Emhoff will doubtless do something as second gentleman. Historically, second ladies have carved out their own niche. Karen Pence has highlighted art therapy. Jill Biden focused on military families and the importance of community colleges. Emhoff has mentioned he'd like to work on issues involving access to justice. Political science professor Kathleen Dolan at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee wonders whether, unfortunately, it'll take having a man as second spouse for the role to become more meaningful. Dolan studies gender and politics and imagines the administration's thinking about Emhoff going something like this.
Boy, look at that experience. Look at that training. Look at all the skills, you know. He's not going to want to simply sit around the Naval Observatory and not have anything to do all day. We've got to find a role for him somewhere. Where nobody has said that about the female spouses in those roles to this point. And there's something deeply sad about that.
This gender inversion in the second highest office in the land will make us recalibrate our expectations, says Kelly Dittmar, research director at the Center for American Women and Politics. She's thinking about the line that Kamala Harris uses often.
She says, you know, we have to be unburdened by what has been to consider what can be. And I think this is one small piece of that.
And wouldn't it be nice, muses Jamia Wilson of the Feminist Press, if what can be becomes totally normal?
I hope that I get to live long enough to get to a point where we have less firsts.
What would it look like, she wonders, to have a world where this wouldn't even be news? Melissa Block, NPR News.